Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can contact our resource consultants via the phone at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Gary, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Hank. It's an honor to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you, Gary.
I just have a general question for you. I hear people all the time asking for prayer that God will help them discern where they're going wrong because they say lots of things around them in their life, that their own self, their family, sickness, cancers, these kind of things are happening to them and nothing's going right. And I was just kind of wondering where you reconcile that with the promises that God makes us in the Bible, like, for instance, Jeremiah 29:11.
Well, I think the reality is a biblical view of sickness is that we all get sick and eventually we all die, that the death rate is one per person, that we're all going to make it. And therefore, the presupposition that sickness is something that happens to those who are not in the center of God's will is simply misguided. Indeed, it is pain, said C.S. Lewis, that is God's megaphone to a deaf world. You think of some of the greatest men of God, preachers like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was known as the Prince of Preachers. And he wrote in 1881, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermons with me. The result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things, and then we're poured out in new and better fashion. And oh, we may almost wish for the melting pot if we may but get rid of the dross, if we may but be pure, if we may but be fashioned more completely like unto our Lord." So what happened to Charles Haddon Spurgeon? He's history's most widely read preacher. His sermon series is the largest set of books by a single author in the history of the Christian church. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon died relatively young. He experienced gout. He experienced pain. And that is the lot of not only a historical character like Spurgeon, who lived in the 19th century, but it's the lot of biblical characters that we laud, like Job, who was affirmed by Scripture as a great man of faith, but yet he was covered with painful sores. Or Timothy, who was called Paul's son in the faith, and yet suffered frequent stomach problems. Or Elisha, who was blessed with a double portion anointing, and yet suffered and died a sick man. And there are so many other biblical examples that we could give. The reason being that we live in a fallen world, and as a result of that, we suffer the ravages of a fallen world. So Christianity never gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. What it does give us is something different, a way to overcome them through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in his resurrection, which means that one day we too will arise from our bodies, which are riddled with pain, to pain-free bodies in a universe that no longer suffers the ravages of travail, but it's liberated from its bondage to decay.
And I've heard lots of other people not associate just necessarily sickness, but, you know, with all the struggles we have in the world, people are losing jobs and relationships and just on and on and on, and their homes and stuff. So do you believe that same thing is true when it comes not just to sickness, but just because of the fallen world in which we're living in?
Well, that's exactly right. And Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Which is to say that in this world we are going to go through one challenge after the other. Ultimately, we don't get rid of the challenges, but we can have peace in the midst of the storm. And again, that's what the Bible promises to us. I had forgotten the passage that you mentioned at the beginning of the question.
Yeah, that's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah, and remember that this is within the context of a letter that's being sent to exiles. And within that context, the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'm going to come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. And then the text that you mentioned, so familiar to probably everybody listening in, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. In other words, there's going to be a time when those who are exiled can look forward to a return from exile to the land and an opportunity to once again to be a light to the nations. That is the promise, because those in exile in Jeremiah are going to eventually, under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, they're going to experience liberation from that exile because God has not forsaken them. He's going to continue to use them. This is not a promise that you're going to be healthy in this world. There is no such promise in this world. As long as you are in this world, you're going to suffer. And anyone who says you're not because you can make a positive confession and therefore eliminate your suffering is simply deceiving you.
You know, so many people I know are associating the fact that they're going through difficult times and that they're, you know, they're asking God to, you know, tell them what they're not doing. Are they not honoring Him? Are they not being faithful enough? And they're asking these things as if, you know, they need to change something they're doing so other things good can happen to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, a person who lives within the parameters that God sets for him or her to live within is going to, on average, feel better in every way than someone that does not. I mean, God puts those parameters around our lives so that our lives might be fulfilled. But again, we have to realistically recognize that we live in a fallen world, and in that fallen world, stuff happens. You know, we had a preborn baby that died. We had a grandbaby that died. My father has died. You know, we're all mortal. So in this life, we're all going to face one tragedy after the other. And that's the way this life is. That's a realistic way of looking at life. So what is the hope of the Christian? It's not, well, you can have a bed of ease as you go through life if only you learn how to make these positive confessions. No, it is that even during the deepest, darkest night, those who love the Lord will not only be supported by the Lord, but carried, as it were, as a lamb in the hands of a shepherd that tenderly cares for them.
That is awesome. That is great encouragement. I really appreciate your ministry. I listen to you every day, and God bless everything you're doing, Hank.
Well, thank you so much for your call. It is so sad when I hear the inverse communicated, and I do so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I still remember a man whose story on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, when he called in, left an indescribable lump in my throat. You know, his mother had a lump appear in her breast, and she purposed to deny the symptoms and rejected medical treatment, he said, because she was committed to the, what I would now call, the ostinification of American Christianity. And so, It wasn't until the tumor had become a weeping sore and consumed most of her breast that she finally got medical attention. But then it was too late. She died 6 months later. And even at the funeral, people were lauding this person's mother for denying her symptoms. Of course, he had borne with the death of his mother the ripened fruit of that nonsense, those dangerous teachings. Joyce Meyer, who was part of the Osteenification of American Christianity, is a classic example. Her worldview is as convoluted as it is dangerous. She says it is vital for us to understand that it is illegal for Satan to put sickness on us, and there's no good reason to let him do it. And therefore, she says, the moment we begin to recognize symptoms of sickness, we need to stand against them. And what does she do to prove her point? She takes one of the most precious passages in Scripture and completely prostitutes it. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More today to find out and experience for yourself the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, we'll go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Linda in Maryland. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I had a question, but now that I'm listening to everything, I'm really confused a little bit. But first, let me say that my original question was, I wanted to know, how do you get over the guilt of not being a good Christian? And I'm confused about who should I be listening to now that there's so many people that I had listened to that you are now saying they are deceiving.
Yeah.
So now I'm guilty and confused.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think what's so important, Linda, is as a follower of Jesus Christ, you follow Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is you build intimacy with him through prayer. So Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he treasured fellowship with his Heavenly Father. It wasn't just, God, can you give me this? God, can you give me that? God, can you do this or that? In other words, it's not just supplication. It's a recognition that our greatest satisfaction is found in having intimacy with the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Secondly, the way you keep from being deceived is you listen to the voice of God in his word. You become so familiar with truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. One of the reasons I wrote The Ostinification of American Christianity is to show you how these teachers operate. They say, this is what Scripture says. Scripture says this, but as a Christian, what you should do is you should check it out and see if Scripture really says that. So if Joel Osteen says, the Bible says we are to call those things that are not as though they were, you should then go to the passage that he's quoting. It happens to be Romans 4:17, and you'll find out that the Bible says nothing of the sort, that he's simply telling you something that's not true. And if a teacher does that once in a while and it's a slip of the tongue, we all make mistakes. But if that is a habit where virtually every single time you turn to the passage and you find out, wow, he's using that passage to communicate what he wants to communicate, not what God is actually saying in his word, then what you do is you stop listening to that teacher and you find a healthy, well-balanced church, which gets me to my third point. That is, we don't go this road alone, Linda. We go it with other believers. And all of us are imperfect. All of us are limited in knowledge. But true believers are those who hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So when we celebrate communion, we celebrate his broken body and shed blood for the complete remission of sins because we realize we cannot be good enough to be acceptable to God. And so we receive the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, and we celebrate communion in community as a way of remembering that, his broken body and shed blood, so that we can be reconciled with God not only for time, but also for eternity. So the three things I just told you in summary are, we want to build intimacy with the Lord through prayer. We want to know the Word of God. That means that we read it daily. It means that we also are committed to not being a Lone Ranger Christian, but committed to being a Christian in community. That means a member of a healthy, well-balanced church. I'm not saying a perfect church, but a church that holds to the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
And that's where I'm a little bit confused, because the church that I'm attending, I've been attending for years now, and they keep talking about finding your purpose. And I haven't even found my purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know how to go about finding my purpose.
Well, I can tell you what your purpose is. Your purpose is to love God and enjoy Him forever. I mean, that's the greatest purpose of humanity. And how do we love Him? We worship Him. And we do it in community through prayer and through praise and through the proclamation of the word. God created us, Linda. He created us for fellowship and intimacy with Him, and we're never satisfied apart from that. There's a God-shaped vacuum in every one of our lives, and He can fill that vacuum. And if we don't fill it with the Lord, a host of consuming appetites crowd out our better intentions, and it leads us to all kinds of other vices that take the place of God. So your purpose is to love God. And guess what happens when you love God and have intimacy with God? Do you think He leaves you in confusion? No, He leads you. He's a shepherd. You can picture a shepherd leading the sheep and keeping the sheep out of danger. In other words, it doesn't mean that there are no difficulties in life and everything is a panacea, but it does mean that we have a loving shepherd who leads us as a shepherd beside the still waters. He nourishes our soul, and He gives us the path of righteousness. So the one you follow is the one who is leading you, and He will make certain that your gifts and talents and your purpose for living are found ultimately so that what you were created to do, you'll have the opportunity to do. It's a matter of following the Lord.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, Linda, hang on. I want to send you a book in which I communicate a lot of these things. It's called The Prayer of Jesus, and I think it might really be helpful. Just be my gift to you. Just hang on.
Okay. Thank you.
Blessings to you, Linda. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to JJ next. He's listening in Hayward, California, on the web. Hi, JJ.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, it's just such a pleasure and honor to speak with you, sir. I've been listening to you for many, many years, since you was in Santa Ana, California, something like that.
Rancho Santa Margarita.
Yeah, Rancho Santa Margarita.
No one could say it.
Long time.
Yeah.
Well, I was at church Sunday, and, you know, I have a wonderful pastor. I thank God. He's a Christian man, and he teaches the word. And, you know, I've been listening to you this long, so, you know, I have to verify some things like when that flag goes up. But he was preaching on Acts 5, 1 and 11 about Ananias and Sapphira, and he said that Satan uses Christians to do his work, and that a Christian can be Satan-filled. So my question is that true?
Well, remember that if you are a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that temple will not be shared by a demon.
That's
also remember that there are so many people that we would look at from the exterior and say, wow, that is a really cool believer that I want to emulate and be like. But we just look at the exterior. God looks at the heart. So Judas, of course, is always the favorite example because he was in the inner circle of Jesus Christ, and he did the things of the Lord. But Jesus lets us know that he was there not because he loved the master, but rather loved what was on the master's table. And there are a lot of examples like that in the Bible.
Right. And he also did say that Ananias and Sapphira premeditated the lie. You know, they you know, knew that they was going to tell the lie, and they lied to God. So I would say, as you say, they wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit in the first place.
Well, the thing about it is that here they knew the Holy Spirit's power. They had experienced the Holy Spirit's power. They had seen it unfold all around them in their circumstances, and yet they purposed to deceive. They were not simply deceiving human beings, but they were attempting to deceive God, which if you're really attempting purposely to deceive God, it's an indication you probably don't know Him in the first place.
Exactly. I totally agree. Okay, well, you know, I knew that answer, and I just wanted to be, I, you know, just didn't come up. I guess it took you to bring it forward. You know, you've given me a lot of material.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we do appreciate your prayers and your support. Listening to the program, you might well think that we are well an island because we are not doing anything to make us politically correct to everyone, and as a result, oftentimes we're isolated. If I was saying Slain in the Spirit is wonderful, well, I'd have a whole lot of denominations that loved what I said. If I said I believed in oneness Pentecostalism, there are people that would love it. If I said I love the teachings of Joel Osteen, people would love it. If I said so many things that would be expedient or failed to say anything that would be controversial, well, it probably would be better for finances, but ultimately you have to look at the fact that we have an audience of one, and we do what we do because life and truth matter, and ultimately we will stand before God and give an account for what we did while we are in the flesh. And that's what I mean by saying we have an audience of one. Out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.